So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Our Father and our God, how can we ever exhaust the fountains of the cross? Lord, even as we plow into today, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Come and burn your truths into our spirit until we can sing them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay? Yesterday, we worked on the triumphs of the cross. 2,000 years ago, God achieved on the cross what will display his greatest love and greatest justice. We saw the cross and God. We saw the cross and the devil. We saw the cross, human beings, you and I. Today, we are moving one step forward. We want to attack the transforming power of the cross. The claim of Christianity is that only the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus can change any human being. Any religion which claims that it has the power to change people is a lie. And if this statement is not true, the Bible must be bent. Every church must be closed down. All Christians must go back home. That's it. The proofs stated in the Bible are not optional. They are provocative. That's it. Who died on the cross? Most of them say it's a man. Christians say it's God. And it is not because we want to be popular. It is because the people who met and saw Jesus call him God. So in John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8, God the Father calls Jesus God and says, your throne, O God, is from everlasting to everlasting. Christianity is saying that if the person who died on the cross is not God, his blood can save nobody. Especially after 2,000 years. It will be a useless blood of human being. It doesn't matter. Therefore, it is important to understand that if the person who died on the cross is human, 2,000 years after that, he cannot change you. But if he is God, then he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Then his death on the cross has power today as it did 2,000 years ago. This is the claim of Christianity. How many times did Jesus die? How many times did Jesus die? You are not sure? Let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 10.
To sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God.
The death he died to sin once. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins.
Christ suffered how many times for sins?
Once.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27.
Now Hebrews chapter 7 verse 27 has this to say, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's? For this he did once for all when he offered up himself.
He did once for all. If the one death of Jesus cannot change you, nothing can ever change you, because he died once. Hebrews chapter 9. For our purposes, I want us to read the verse 12, and then we can read verse 14. Then let's come down to verse 26 and 28.
Okay. So Hebrews chapter 9.
I want to put my throat on this, because where we are going now is a little risky. Many of us don't believe that we can ever change. I'm sanguine. I'm melancholic. I'm choleric. You don't know me. That's how I am. And many of us come to Jesus and tell him that that's how I am. If the blood of Jesus cannot change you, then you are not heavenly material. Yes.
Yeah. Hebrews 9, 12 and 14, first of all. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all.
Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered heaven once for all.
Having obtained eternal redemption.
Look at that. This is why I said yesterday that some verses, after reading them, you just have to get up and walk around a little so that you will recover from the shock of the verse. The Bible says the blood of Jesus is in heaven now. He entered heaven with his own blood to secure for you eternal redemption. A redemption which lasts to eternity.
Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Please. This verse is important. It's worth memorizing. There is something about man which only the blood of Jesus can work on. And he says, it's your conscience. Our conscience gives us our convictions. As for me, I'm persuaded that this. As for me, I believe this. As for me, I think this. As for me, this is how I reason. As for me, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus enters the deepest part of a human being, his conscience. in his spirit man and cleanses it from dead works so that you can serve God aright. Talk about power of transformation. Well, let's top it up with the verse 26 and 28.
Yeah, now 26 and 28. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
This is the reason why only Jesus can save a person. To put away sin once for all and forever can only be done by somebody who has eternal dimensions and can redeem to the uttermost every part of you. I'm trying to explain to you that if the death of Jesus 2,000 years ago were not to be enough to save a 21st century artificial intelligence laden lady, then Christ will need to come and die for you again. But he died once, and that one death covers the ages, the aeons. Now,
verse 28.
28, good.
So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many.
Yes.
To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation.
I think we have nailed the coffin of this thing. I could go on to chapter 10 of Hebrews, but I don't think you should kill a dog many times. Now, this evening, we are looking at the topic of transformation from the cross. Can a human being change? Can a person be transformed? Now, I've shared my personal test many times. But I tell people everywhere I go that I am a living proof that Jesus changes lives. I was masturbating daily until I masturbated in the classroom. And I was soaked in pornography. When I accepted Christ, at first, nothing happened. Then I went to the Scripture Union and I started reading my Bible. Within 2 weeks, the Spirit of God came upon me. I didn't understand the thing the way I am explaining it to you now. But that electric feeling of the Holy Spirit coming upon you was an experience I had never had. When I got up, no pastor preached to me. I just took my writing pad and wrote to my girlfriends that's it. Now, the masturbation stopped that day. And as I stand here now, it is 50 and a half years, half a century, I have never gone back to masturbation. If that's not Jesus, tell me who changed me. Then the stealing. I took back the rest of the money I have stolen from my father's shop and explained to him why my brothers call me Kutelin the Taker. Until today, when we meet and they want to tease me, even though I've been pastoring for 44 years now, they still call me. and godly names. And the girls, it was easy to write to them to say, it's over. When I met them face to face, I saw that there was a difference between WhatsApp and in-person meeting. So I wrestled with the girls for a year until I got baptized in water. But glory to God, when I came up out of that water, something left me. And my wife is my testimony. I stayed 8 years before marrying. We were in relationship on this campus for 4.5 years. I was in Lagos Hall. She was in Sabah Hall. I never kissed her. I never smooched her. I never embraced her. She's here. The only time she embraced me was when I was ordained a pastor. Even that, I rebuked her afterwards. And this is my 44 years pastoring. My office was on the Lagos Hall campus, Commonwealth Hall here, for 20 years plus. I've seen every kind of hair and every kind of dressing on this campus before. The fact that my hands are clean and there is no girl anywhere in my lifetime or after my death who can come up and say, I have any secret dealings with her, means Jesus changes lives. Yes. We have been advised, pastors, that if you are going to preach, you must first allow the sermon to deal with you. So now I can talk to you about transformation. The scripture mentions at least 5 big transformation that result from the cross. I may not have time to do justice to them, but I will mention them for you. Number one is what we call the blood of the covenant. The Bible says when they were taking supper, Jesus instituted what we call Lord's Supper. And he told them that this is my blood in the new covenant.
Matthew chapter 26 verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant.
This is my blood of the new covenant,
which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
You know, God knows that human beings, they doubt. God knows. God knows you doubt. Why do I say that? Because when he told Adam in the Genesis 2:17 that the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Oh? Satan came and told Eve that you will not surely die. And the poor lady, she had to choose between God saying you will surely die and the serpent saying you will not surely die. And she chose to believe the devil. So God has decided that if you can't believe him, he can't save you. This is why salvation is by faith. If you can't believe him, you can't trust him, he can't save you. So, in order to make assurance doubly sure and make human beings trust him, he brought a new covenant and signed it with the blood of his son to tell human beings that if you will doubt, doubt again. I am establishing a new covenant. And this new covenant, I sign it with the blood of my son to guarantee all human beings that there is nothing else I can do beyond this. Now, what are the stipulations of this new covenant? It's worth reading, even though it's long. And I wouldn't want us to read the Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. But I want us to read the Hebrews 8. Read Hebrews 8 from 10. Let's read from verse 10 to 12.
Hebrews 8, 10 to 12. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord.
Good.
I'll put my laws in their mind.
I will put my laws in their minds.
And write them on their hearts.
And engrave the laws on their hearts. The problem with the Old Testament was that the Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone. And Moses even broke one before he got to the people. And God told him, bring some more stone. I'll write on them. Now, God knows that if he writes the commandments and laws on stone, you will break it again. So he went ahead and said, it's a covenant. It's not a promise. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. It's a contract. But I'm sealing it with my son's blood. I will put my laws in your mind. I will engrave them on your heart. Nobody. Okay, please read it.
And I will be their God.
Yes.
And they shall be my people.
Yes.
None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying.
Nobody will teach his neighbor. Nobody will teach his brother, saying.
Know the Lord.
Know the Lord.
For all shall know me.
All shall know me. All shall know me. All shall know me. All shall know me. All shall know.
From the least of them to the greatest of them.
Correct.
For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more.
Ezekiel 36. From verse 25 to 27, puts it very graphical.
Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you.
Yes.
And you shall be clean.
I will put clean water on you and you will be clean.
I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness.
Yes.
And from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart.
I will give you a new heart.
And put a new spirit within you.
And put a new spirit within you.
I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh.
That heart of stone, which makes it so difficult that you don't obey me, I'll take it out. And I will give you a heart of flesh.
Yeah, and give you a heart of flesh.
Yes.
I'll put my spirit within you.
And I will put my spirit. Notice there are two spirits here. I will give you a new spirit, but I will put my spirit within you.
And cause you to walk in my statutes.
And cause you to walk in my statutes.
And you will keep my judgments and do them.
Wow. This is why if you are born again and you don't change, you are a liar. If the blood of Jesus cannot change you, nothing can change you. Because the blood of the covenant is that he will write his laws on your heart, put them in your mind. Nobody will tell his brother, know the Lord, or his neighbor, know the Lord. All will know me from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to their sins and transgressions, and I will remember their sin no more. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, and I will take the heart of stone out of you, and I will give you a heart of flesh. But that's not enough. My own spirit I'll put inside you, and my spirit will move you, cause you to obey my commandments. This is what no Muslim can ever have until they die. This is what no Buddhist can ever have until they die. No Hindu can ever have it until they die. It is called the transforming power of the blood of Jesus. We have read it, that he said, I'll use my blood to clean your conscience, your inward person. What are you talking about? Look, Deuteronomy 30 verse 6. He says, one of the things I'll do is to circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, so that they can love me with all their heart.
And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart, I am the heart of your descendants.
Yes.
To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live.
Please, let's read it. Then we shall believe it. Go. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. This changes the songs you sing, the video clips you watch, the kind of music you dance to, the way you dress, the company you keep, the places you go. If you don't change, you are not bought by this blood of Jesus. I want an amen to that. Are you satisfied? Hebrews chapter 13. Let's read verse 20 and 21. He calls it the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Make you complete in every good work.
It should make you complete in every good work.
To do his will, work in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Now, are you asking whether this covenant built on blood can change a person? Are you asking? Are you still asking? It must change people. That's the first place for transformation. I have come across a generation of Christians. We call them second generation Christians. Because they have been born in Christian homes, and they have come to church all their lives, and they can tick the right answers to every Christian question. It is difficult for them to know whether they are born again or they are not born again. It's like a stone in fire. After some time, it believes that it's firewood. But I want to change you. In a day when you knew you were a sinner, and that the wages of sin is death, and you need a savior, and the blood of Jesus is the only thing which can forgive and wash your sins. So you turn to this Jesus for him to save you. If you can't remember any day like that when you were growing up, you are not born again. I'm saying that a transforming power in the blood of Jesus. And this blood does not only forgive sin, it washes your conscience and introduces the new covenant.
Hello.
Gives you a new heart and a new spirit. and takes the heart of stone out, gives you a heart of flesh, and puts the Spirit of God within you to cause you to walk in His statutes. That is the first port of call for change, transformation. Number two, our union with Christ. Our union with Christ. Heaven does not want you to forget the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, God has woven every important sacrament in the church around that. So when you receive Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, what happens is that Jesus did not only die for you. You are also put together with Jesus. So in baptism, Romans chapter 6, you can read from 3, it says that you were crucified with Jesus, you died with Jesus, you were buried with Jesus. In baptism.
Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death?
You were baptized into the death of Jesus. You need the cross to change. Yes.
Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death.
Yes.
That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
So you were crucified with Jesus. You died with Jesus. You were buried in the watery grave with Jesus. And when Jesus resurrected, you were resurrected with Jesus.
For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection.
We are not reading it, but Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 say that God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, we will read Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6. He says that when you were dead in trespasses and sins, God made you alive together with Christ. And He raised you up together with Christ. And He made you to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places.
Ephesians 2, 5 and 6.
Yes.
Even when we were dead in trespasses,
yes,
made us alive together with Christ.
He made us alive together with Christ.
By grace you have been saved.
Yes.
And raised us up together.
He raised us up together with Christ.
And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
He made us sit together with Jesus in the heavenly places. If you don't like that, Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He says that you dead. Your life is hidden with Christ inside God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, you will appear together with Him.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory.
Galatians 2:20.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ.
Stop. Now, Paul, he was writing this letter at least 15 years after Jesus died and went to heaven. Paul never met Jesus and walked with Him on this earth. So, what is he doing? He says, I've been crucified with Christ. What's the meaning of that? Is he deceiving us? Is it history or a dream? You see, We are talking about the reality of the cross of Jesus 2,000 years after he died. We can say, I have been crucified with Christ, because what he did on the cross, he did with you. When he died with you. When he was buried with you. When he rose on the third day, he rose with you. When he ascended into heaven, he ascended with you. When he is seated now at the right hand of God, he is seated with you. The power of the cross of Christ is that he did not only take your place to die for your sins, but he died with you. Yes, you can.
I have been crucified with Christ.
Yes.
It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Yes. So now, this is the point. You were melancholic, sanguine, choleric, or a mixture of the four of them. Then you come to Christ. What the Bible is saying is that it's no longer you who live. Christ lives in you. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. Therefore, if you can't change, then nothing can change you. Is that point made? Okay. Now, I came across Romans 3:25. I just want us to read it for effect. He says that you need faith in the blood of Jesus.
Romans 3:25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood,
yes,
through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed.
You know, even though I have spoken in a way for you to be happy, you need you yourself to crucify yourself with Christ. Let's read it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20.
Galatians 5, 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
Now, he is not saying you are crucified. He is saying you have crucified yourself, the passions. Many people think that, oh, Jesus, is that it? You came to die to save me. Okay, save me. Save me. I'm here. Save me. Save me. You will go to hell in a palanquin. He was crucified for you. You have been crucified with him. This is from God's side. Your side is you have to crucify yourself so that agree with heaven that what he has done in Christ, you are party to it. This is why we read in the first reading in Luke 9:23. Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross when? Once a year. No, you read it.
Then he said to them all,
daily.
Yes. Were you going to read it?
Yeah. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
You must take up your cross. The work of Jesus on the cross on your behalf is paid for by heaven. But your side is to be part of what Jesus has done. Otherwise, the change doesn't come. This is why there are many people in church, but they are not changing. And they are wondering why all these good things But the difference is that the decision to be crucified with Christ is yours. I will find some time to talk about that tomorrow. But we are talking about the transforming power of the cross for today. Can the cross change me? Certainly. What the Holy Spirit does is that 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, He comes to transform you into the image of Jesus from one degree of glory to another.
But we all, with unveiled face.
Did he say the pastor? Did he say the pastor?
No.
The choir? The elders? Members of the... How many people? We all.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
I like your quiet Agbada. Please, come. This is the Holy Spirit. He lives inside you. Now, you are trying to change me. So let's say you want to go this way. You want me to go with you this way. Okay, change me. This is the life of some Christians. You wonder how you've been in Christ for 10 years, but you are not changing. This is it. The Holy Spirit, we all, with unveiled faces, beholding us in the mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being changed by the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus. But that being changed is not a passive... Okay, change me. Change me. Change me. Change me. You know, this is it. It's the Spirit of God. The word change doesn't do justice. It's from a Greek word from which we get our English metamorphosis. Meta meaning change. Morphe meaning inside, your inside. Metamorphosis is a change from within you. And the Holy Spirit changes you by human habit. He transforms you. So you become different from what you were before he came inside you. I want an amen for that. And he lives in you because your body is his temple. And if you say you can't hear the Holy Spirit, for me, I can't hear. Hey, have you been hearing the Holy Spirit? Me? It's not from him. He is the same Holy Spirit living in every one of us. Amen? Transformation. Change. Thank you. Clap for him. Well, I must bring this sermon to a close. The force of the cross is that it is God's Son who died. He died once because that one death is enough. That one death is enough. It's exhaustive. It is comprehensive. It is sufficient. You don't need a second death of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus, the blood of the everlasting covenant, that change agent washes your sin, washes your conscience, and establishes a covenant that gives you a new heart, a new spirit, takes the heart of stone out, gives you a heart of flesh puts God's Holy Spirit within you and makes you a champion. Your union with Christ is guaranteed because you are not the person effecting it. It's God who did it. Now, your response is critical. I know some young men. One young man, he wanted to marry a girl in Volta Hall. So he came and passed by my room in Legon Hall. I prayed with him before he went to propose to the lady. He came back to weep on my shoulders. The lady refused. Here is a man who is in love. But here is a girl who is not in love. For God so loved you, He gave His only begotten Son. What is your response? What is your response? We love Him because He first loved us. He showed us love so that we can love. Have you ever gone to a Muslim mosque before? There is no joy. There's no singing, shouting. Go and see. They don't have that. They cannot sing of a love they have not experienced. You and I can sing of it. We deserve to give heaven at least the love He gave us. And our response is to change.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.